And so just to reiterate on my recording, it's True Wealth Tangible Assets Advisor. This is Kevin. But anyway, so when I started the business, I was really into coins, and it was kind of a fun time to be into coin. I mean, I've been around them a long time. But in the early 90s, it was kind of fun because there was still, you still had a lot of Depression era people around. And the hoards that, you know, I was buying, it was just a lot of fun. It was interesting, you know, insightful. It was rewarding and exciting. And there, and then they came out with the state quarter program, which really lit up the coin market. I mean, for a period of time, the, you know, it was just unbelievable. Everything had money on it. It was crazy. And then, of course, the markets always get smarter. And we were always like, this stuff doesn't make any sense. State quarters, I mean, they make a billion of every mint mark or more of every year. And then, you know, you get into the, you know, they've made the state quarters, territories, state parks, all this since 1999. So you're talking over 20 years, 5 to 6 a year, 5 to 6 designs a year. Okay, now you have, for circulation, you have the P and the D. Philadelphia and Denver, and, you know, and there's over a billion, well over a billion of each of those. Then you have the proofs or the mint sets, which they make millions and millions of. You have the proofs, the silver proofs, the reverse silver proofs, the special duty, you know, doodah proofs. They lose their minds. There's so much of that modern stuff out there, folks. I mean, if you got hordes of state quarters and you're waiting for them to go up, take them and trade them for gold or silver or something. I mean, people come in with boxes of quarters or whatever, we'll trade them, you know, that's fine. But they're not going anywhere. And it's even in 100 years, people are like, what about 100? Well, first of all, you're not going to be around 100 years. And secondly, if it's, something's not rare now, why is it going to be rare in 100 years? You can go back 1700s, Great Britain, you know, pretty much, I think, ruled half the earth, darn near. And they were colonizing everywhere, et cetera. So they were responsible for making all the coinage for the world. You know, they were kind of... Coinage is power, basically, and prestige, but it's mostly power. That's why our country started out making coinage in 1792 with the half dizmy and George Washington's property with Martha Washington's sterling silverware. It's a sign of sovereignty. You know, if you try to make, well, I won't get into all that. So if you, so basically, when we look back into the 1700s, there's coins from Great Britain, pennies, half cents, all kinds of stuff that we sell by the pound, or, and we throw them in our by the pound foreign buckets when we have the coins available, which we're pretty low on that now, but some of the, you know, anyway, but the thing is, they're pennies a piece. And it's like, you know, maybe you get 140 coins or 120 coins for $15 or whatever. You know, they're 8, 10, 12 cents, whatever it figures out to be. And that's it. And, you know, and that's, you're talking 300 years ago. And they're still, you know, they made too many of them then, and there's still too many of them now. People do not throw coins. People do not throw coins in the garbage. I mean, not on purpose. I have. Trust me. One time my wife found a $1,000 quarter. I know that doesn't make sense to you. A quarter worth $1,000, but it's possible. Very. And it was in a holder, and she found it in the garbage and said, is there any reason that this is in the garbage? Like, as if maybe I did intend to throw it out. She just wanted to verify. That wasn't good. And we've had other situations too. Anyway, but I digress severely. So anyway, people don't throw coins in the garbage. So they're all out there somewhere. You just don't see them all the time, and they're not. So here's where I'm going. Coins aren't rare. Rare coins are rare. There are good coins that are always good coins, and they become better coins. And over the years since I've been doing this, there's coins that have gone from being within reach to being astronomically out of reach. And, you know, that's, there's coins like that. They're just out there. And then, you know, there's good quality rare coins. There's tons of Carson City dollars I always talk about. Those things just, they're as reliable as, you know, a phenomenal Swiss watch, you know. they just keep ticking and ticking and ticking, and they just do really, really well. I've had tons of them over the years, given tons of them, sold tons of them to friends, and they just perform at a 10 to 15% per year level. When they stop performing for a year, they just stay flat. They don't really go down. And now what we're finding in the coin market is that rare, good quality material, this is what's happening everywhere. I collect Rolex watches, and I buy them too, and you know, but I was talking to a friend of mine in Miami who's a big, big dog, real in touch with what's going on, and the Rolex watches have gone up, you know, crazy too. I mean, like cars, you know, the ones that matter. So quality material just keeps ticking. Real estate on the lake out in Coeur d'Alene's out of control. You know, everything's just gone, taken this huge upsurge, which is, it's an actual display of hyperinflation. I mean, it's a hyperinflationary run. And by the way, when they said a while ago we were out of coinage, that was never the case. I discussed on here. They have these monstrous robot things that literally, they dump coins in by the, you know, dump truck funnel. It's about that size in it. And they dump them in. The machine sorts them out, spits out the junk. Anything that's not U.S., it cleans it out. Anything that's bent or overly worn or whatever, it spits it out. And then it runs it through all these. Then it separates it by denomination in quantities you can't even imagine. I mean, we're talking like probably $1 million an hour or more. I don't know, but it's crazy. And then they pump them into the different denominations. Then the machine wraps them in clear plastic like tubes. Like, you know, if you had a roll of quarters, it's just wrapped really tight in this kind of cellophane wrapper. That I think that's so that everything's hypothetically visible. And then they put them, and then the machine wraps them into these bundles that are, I would say, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 feet by 2 or 3 feet. And then it stacks those bundles together on these huge pallets, and it just continues like this until it builds these 10-foot by 8 feet or 10-foot by 10-foot big, huge cubes. And then these machines, this is all done without man's hand, and then these machines run them around this huge building that reminds me of an arena like our Spokane Arena with ramps around the outside, and then they store these things in quantities. And right before they said we had no change during this COVID baloney, a friend of mine who had been back there was like telling me, oh, dude, you should see how packed they are. They've got more stuff. And he was telling me how many, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars, or 140, 100, 400 billion, I think. I don't even know. Maybe, I don't even know. But he was telling me the numbers. They told him how much was there and how much per floor and all that. And then they come out and say, we're out of change. You know, use your credit cards. I think that's false propaganda. I mean, we live in a world of absolute false propaganda. And, you know, mentally, I think our minds prioritize the information we get a little too similarly. In other words, we put everything on the same playing field. Maybe we favor the news source too much sometimes. In fact, we do. Let's face it. If you have a news source, if you're conservative, you're like, oh, I got my news guy, you know, he's, you know, Johnny Red Hat down there. He's seen them. He's seen the Martians, you know, but he's not that crazy, you know. But I mean, we all kind of, maybe not to that extent, but I think we want to favor people. We want to believe. We want to believe. I mean, it's so hard. You know what? Love believes all things. You know what's interesting? If that were true, which it is, but if the word is hopes for. If the love believes, it wants to hope. It thinks all things are possible through hope, is how I would say it. Because if that were true, Jesus would have just walked around and went, oh, really? Oh, okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, all right. Well, I guess you guys are right. Because he'd believe all things. That wouldn't work. And God is love. But the Spirit gives us, that's a fruit of the Spirit, is the number one fruit he puts out there, love. And we know what love is love is a matter of kindness. Here we got a friend calling me during radio show. Isn't that figure? I forgot to turn this thing off. Aren't I bad? Now no problem. So anyway, so we were going nowhere with love. So here's something else I wanted to touch on, and then we'll get moving here. We always are moving, right? So on the way in today, I was listening to Mark Levin, and he started to talk about some things, and then I'd heard, you know, there's a gal on Fox or CNN named Joy Reid, okay? And what's happening now that I'm seeing is we're just tolerating the intolerable. And I hope that people will rise up, okay? So what she's doing is she's out there all the time stoking, or she's on MSNBC, sorry, stoking division and fire and vitriol and, you know, just heated anger towards racism. Everything she twists and turns into black versus white. And I've watched her because I'm, a sadist or whatever it is. I guess I like the pain. Or masochist or whatever the heck. I probably got to be careful with those words. I think they get close to other topics that I'm not intending to go to. But anyway, so maybe I like abuse or something. So I go to these liberal stations and I listen and watch. And I don't get mad after the TV's broken and stuff and I can't hear it anymore. I usually calm down pretty good. So I have a membership with Amazon where they just automatic ship me 2 TVs a week. And there's actually someone out there listening right now that'll believe that. And then they'll come in later and go, I heard that. You get, you know, no, that was a joke. Because I get mad and break the TV, but I don't. So anyway, I listen to that stuff. I don't get mad. I do. But I want to think that my anger is a little bit righteous, like not just like, you know, the Hulk or something. I don't get like that often anyway. I don't think I do hardly ever, but if I could, if I needed to, but I don't want to. And it'd have to take like robbery or something. And anyway, again, I digress. So anyway, I watch this stuff and I feel myself up, but I'm looking. Folks, you know how much the single most powerful emotion you can have is empathy. Okay, when you there's so many different aspects of smarts or EQ, emotional quotient. There's so many different ways you can function through life. People who are sympathetic are very elitist. They just are incapable, or and especially as we get old enough, it's too late. But they're incapable of really feeling an emotion with you, of putting themselves in your shoes and saying, "What is he or she really going through?" And you know, it's not about agreeing. It's about, you know, and there's times you can mentally step into their shoes or spiritually, whatever you want to call it, and say, this is not a right place to be. You know, like people, you know, that are maybe super mentally struggling with things or, you know, I don't know. And you might still realize, but you can try to empathize. And their sympathy's got a place too. Sympathy is more of a, oh, you know, I'm sorry to hear about that. Or sympathy you have to be really careful with because it can become, you look down on them. Or there's people that'll say really crappy things. They'll say, wow, if you said, hey, you know, this happened to me and that. Now, I'm not talking there. Now, I'm going to exclude this person. The person that you know, you walk up to people, hey, how you doing? And the guy in church or whatever that goes, well, you know, it's funny you asked. Because after, you know, the dog died and I broke my foot, I got in my truck and sprained my back because I accidentally broke the door as I was dropping the keys into the water grate. You know, I mean, it's like, oh boy, sorry I asked, you know. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to be that guy or woman. No one wants to, I mean, prayer, legitimate prayer, yeah. if you're getting your, you know, head kicked in, sometimes, I mean, you need prayer. You need prayer. There is a devil. There is evil. I can tell you, we can use it. But at the same time, you don't want to be the person that tells everyone their problems. And you got to be really watch medications. These things will take you down a dark, dark road, especially like benzodiazepines. Those are like Valium and stuff. And that stuff's crazy. I mean, I've had it years ago, and I was like, wow, that stuff's nasty. It'll mess you up good. So trust me, it's not, it'll change your thinking too. SSRIs can really change people drastically. That's mood depressant, or I mean antidepressants. And then they have SSNRIs, which are the selective serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors, which they're resuspending the serotonin as well as the norepinephrine, which is your basically a form of your adrenaline. And so what they do is they're hypersaturating your cells with it. So you basically get, the serotonin is the feel good chemical, but too much of it can also turn you into a dope, you know? And then norepinephrine, the upper, they're giving people, so they'll make people crazy. They'll feel really good. The serotonin messes with your judgment, because if there's some people that rely strictly on feelings. Women struggle with that more than men. People who really rely on feelings will tend to rely on how the drugs are making them feel to determine how their life is going. And they won't necessarily step back and say, hey, this is not right. You know, and then they do crazy things. There's like SSRIstories.com, which had at one time 6,000 or 7,000 documented stories, documented legally and medically, of horrors, you know, multi-shooting suicides and all the mass shooters and just a ton of stuff. The SSRIs contribute heavily. Anyway, so I just really watch the meds and drugs you get on. They will get to you good. So we'll backpedal. The whole Joy Reid thing, what's going on? We got CRT, critical race theory, folks. And what we're doing, we've got, I don't even know, I'll just bounce around here. Critical race theory is an absolute Marxist. You're like, how can race theory be Marxist? It destroys the ruling class. It creates division. The key is what I just said. It destroys the ruling class. It breaks down society. It causes permanent, intractable division between the two. You're not going to ever be able to fix it, because one person's always black and another's always white. It causes party division. Folks, they have literally infiltrated, and they've had plans to do this going back to the 60s. And when I was in school, we were being taught right. Well, then they got the schools. And I was at the end of being taught right, because Montana is about 10 years behind the rest of the nation at that time, and about everything, including fashion, including TV, because we weren't getting any, there was no nationally aired television. We'd be getting shows 8 years after everyone else had already seen them. But that was then. And so the rest of the nation basically is now, everything is on the second. And so they've got everyone separated and divided and angry and vitriolic and, you know, I mean, you go man versus woman, you got kids versus parents, you got gays versus straights, you go to the schools, you got transgenders and bi this and that, and you got people, you know, identifying as joke stuff. And, you know, I think a lot of these kids, it starts out as a joke and it gets, the pressure's a lot, or they don't fit in, or, you know, now they're going to ask you at 10 years old if you wish you were a boy when you were a girl. My wife said she would have gone for it. She was a tomboy, and she said she hated being a girl. She played with trucks and things like that when other girls were playing with dolls or whatever. You know, they can recruit you, man. And especially if, you know, you don't have the right family structure around you. So the division, the CRT is just the tip of an iceberg that, like, Fox is going after. And all they'll do is rename it. And then they lie. They look you in the eye and go, we're not teaching CRT. Well, it is. It's there. But they can look you in the eye and say it, and it's kind of like, well, prove it. You know, well, unless the media wants to get one of these textbooks on board and start going through it, it ain't happening, you know. It just, I don't know. The whole thing is, they're doing what they want. They've always, the thing you got to understand is, the best defense is a good offense. The Democrats have been on offense nonstop. They shoot this, shoot that, throw this, throw that. They're working over here. They've got people infiltrating our whole government. They own our media. They've got people like Joy Reid. What happens is it's money. People get out there and they start making money and they sell their soul. They you know, if their soul dependence and promotion is on that agenda or a certain behavior. Obviously, you watch MSNBC and CNN. There's only one acceptable position in those places, and that's either it's extremely left-wing or really extremely left-wing. They're just, and they're wacko. And then they lie, because guess what? It gets, high ratings. And you'll talk to people, and they'll quote me stuff off these shows, and I'll be like, use your head, man, you know, and there's so many different things if you know how to read interviews and, you know, they'll twist words and say, well, Hunter, did you or did you not use, so there's these accusations that he was doing all these drugs in the bathroom of this Russian hotel with all these prostitutes, there's all kinds of stuff, but this Russian came out and he laid it out, said, here's what went down. You know, they had pictures of Hunter with all these Russian prostitutes, but he said it didn't mean he did drugs and did all this. So the gal says, Hunter, and this is such a smart, you got to catch this stuff. She goes, Hunter, so at any time, did you use drugs in any of the bathroom stalls, any of the toilet stalls inside of that bathroom? Any of the stalls inside of that bathroom at any time? Well, no. The guy never said he used them inside the stalls. The guy said he was using them out on the sink and everything else. He said no. Well, that's honest. It's not truthful, but it's honest. You know, that's just one example. I catch this stuff all the time. And even the media people don't catch it sometimes. And then there's masters. You know, you can say, well, someone accused you of this. And then you go to the person and say, well, did you accuse me of using drugs in the bathroom or whatever? And then they'll be like, no. Well, maybe they didn't. Maybe they just accused him of using drugs. You know what I'm saying? And so, I don't know. You gotta always pay attention to what's not there. It's hard to train yourself. I was lucky to have a heavy education in all this bias and, you know, mathematics. I'm getting old. My brain's getting weird now. But I was just dealing with a pharmacy today on some stuff for my wife, and I'm like, they keep messing this stuff up. And I had to call them and say, let's have a math lesson. You know, if you're supposed to take this many times a week, times this, they kept shorting us, and it was just, and the gal kept arguing, like, it's like, do the math, you know? And that's a pharmacy tech, and she's issuing a significantly wrong amount of meds. That, my friends, is a problem. It's not like heroin or nothing or any opiates, but you get my point. I mean, as someone whose sole primary job is to count pills or milliliters of stuff or whatever, they can't count or do math in her head, that's a problem. That's the world we're in. So let me keep rolling here. So anyway, here's the thing with Joy Reid. She's out there doing anti-gay and all this stuff. I mean, not anti-gay. I was just reading that she apologized for her accidental homophobic post because somebody said it was homophobic, so she apologized. I mean, come on, guys. So anyway, she's coming out this anti-white stuff, and so I was doing some research here, okay? And she was talking about it's modern-day slavery. This is modern-day slavery. Our entire democracy is at stake. You're hearing this more and more and more, and then they blow up the phony January 6th thing. What a lie, folks. You know, it got breached. I mean, it was very manageable and maintainable. All those cops, most of those cops at the Capitol, they're used to being decorations. They arrest people, sure, but they're decorations. They walk around, they look good, and everybody smiles at them and waves at them. And, you know, they just were not ready. And then when you get into the research, my understanding is that there was multiple appeals to Nancy Pelosi for better security, actually in writing and everything, predicting something was going to happen on January 6th. Well, that information was coming through intel, and that information was on her side. So basically, the left was planning this thing. That's all fact. I mean, the information's out there, but, you know, and the media's covered it. Like Fox, they hang on to it one day and move on, and then even Hannity blows it off. And then, I mean, these are things that should be hanging people up. They're out there spouting and touting this stuff. I just don't even understand how the games are played up there. But the way they handle these things is just like, wow, these are full-bred politicians. I pray to God that Nancy Pelosi gets replaced by somebody worth a hoot. We got to get some way better representation. We shouldn't have this. So where I was going with the Joy Reid thing, folks, is she was saying modern-day slavery. So if you go to this World Population Review website, which is a liberal left-winger website, just to make sure you know that it's acceptable to the left, it is modern slavery and how prevalent is it? So today there's 167 countries that still have some form of modern slavery, which affects an estimated 46 million people worldwide directly. That's a lot of people, and there's probably a lot more. Modern slavery, they say, can be difficult to detect and recognize because slavery has moved underground in most countries because the definition of slavery has expanded and evolved over the past several decades. It says the U.S. Department of State defines modern slavery as, quote, the act of recruiting, harboring, transporting, providing, or obtaining a person for compelled labor or commercial sex acts through the use of force, fraud, or coercion. That's 2017. And then it goes on, and I mean, modern forms of slavery are like, you know, by ownership. It's an ownership, but it's more of a intimidation thing, obviously. Chattel slavery, they call it. Government conscription, forced military service or government labor, forced prison labor, forced migrant labor, debt bondage, where you're a slave until your debts get paid off. You know how that works? They never get paid off. They pay you too little. It's a sad day when that stuff. That happens all over the world, man. I mean, you know, debtors' prison they used to have, where you'd have to pay people back or whatever because you owed them money. And, you know, there's a balance in there. There are people, I spent years in banking. There are people that are just flat deadbeat frauds. If you borrow money and you have no intention of paying it back in full, according to the terms of the agreement, it's fraud. I don't care, you know, if it's unsecured, you can get away with it. And it's not your fault because your credit's bad. I've seen that many a moon. But if you can't afford it, don't borrow it. Use your head. If you ever have to borrow money for this reason or that, you know, get yourself set up ahead of time. You can get a personal line of credit from a bank or attached to a debit card or something that's at you know, a reasonable rate, and you don't have to have a ton of money in the bank all the time. I know banks are, there's, the next thing we're going to see is bank disruption. I don't know about the next thing. Yeah, something, we're going to see some bank disruption. We're going to need another crisis to explain the imminent, impending decline in the value of the markets, as they call them. In other words, the Dow. It has to correct heavy, heavy. And they need something to blame it on. They need a Hegelian dialectic. They need a problem so they can come in with a solution and say, look, folks, we're going to make it all okay. We just need to print $10 trillion. That's it. Stand back. Don't cross the line. We're going to take care of this. You guys are in really good hands. And we're going to, you know, all we're going to just print, we got this $9.9 trillion bill. We're going to ram right through real fast so we can solve this problem right away. We don't really want to get into the particulars with you. It's too complicated. You're not smart enough to know anyway. And it's our job to decide for you and think for you. So don't even sweat it. We got it. Just trust us. And then, you know, they ram stuff through, and the next thing you know, 4% of it goes to the cause, and 96% of it gets filtered all around the world, and it goes through these backdoor channels into kickbacks to a lot of these politicians. And I've seen backroom statistics on it from a friend of mine who's been a lobbyist for 20-some years, not scientific, all based on, well, it's based on real statisticians getting statistical data, but it's not something they want to publish. But it is like 70, it's a high 70s of the Democrats that are taken. They have them broke down by color and how much they take. I mean, that illegally or unscrupulously, ethically, questionable behavior, you know, that, I mean, it's just stuff that's wrong. But a lot of times these guys have these little slick laws in there that what's wrong is right. That's why you always say just because it's legal doesn't make it right. You know, so these politicians tend to pack things in a little heavy, like bad for their own favor. So it's like 74% are taking, you know, substantial, like they estimate over a half million a year. And then as the percent goes down, the dollars go up. And they go all the way down to, you know, some of them, the Clintons and the Pelosis and the Bidens and a few others that are close to them are getting a lot, like hundreds of millions a year or 100 million a year. And it's just, that's how bad this thing has gotten. It's out of control. And so the media, everyone's in their hands. You know, we've got modern slavery being blamed. It's all like they throw diversions at us that to look at this and that. But here, let me give you some numbers. The top 10, now here's something else. Okay, critical race theory is what? Black against white, everybody against white. America was built and founded by white Christians. Okay, I know they say, no, the blacks did all the work. That's not true at all. There's so many farmers and everybody that did their work. Down south, South Carolina, Georgia, I understand, yeah. And people attack. You get David Barton, deep, deep research, uses all original documents, and they attack him because he actually lays out the truth. White man is not a bad thing. White man has built the earth. I mean, they have. Caucasian, whatever you want to call us. There's a time under this Mohammedan movement that the Muslims were ruling the earth at the time, and they did some gorgeous stuff too. Frankly, they did. And you can go back to the Egyptians, and, you know, they did incredible stuff, and the Babylonians and all that. And, you know, but Caucasian males in the 20th century, or at least the 19th and 20th and 21st century, have done a lot of good. We had the Civil War. We died. We lost a million men to the Civil War, to, you know, every kind of loss you can have. For what? Over slavery. I mean, really, freedom. There's, you know, different arguments on what the real intention was, but it goes down in history as the fight for freedom and the Emancipation Proclamation, so let it be. I mean, so it is. It's not exactly accurate, but who cares? It's true. I mean, it's part of it. It was building before, and there were so many white people that fought and died for blacks long before the Civil War. I mean, so many. It's not even funny. I don't know what number would make it funny, but it's never funny, but that's just a dumb saying. So here's the deal. I want you to think about that. We fought to stop slavery, and I think we've done a good job. We keep getting it hung in our face. People need to get fed up. You got to just be intelligent with facts. Just get like three facts in your head for each thing. Because if someone says something and you have a chance to speak, you want to pray to the Spirit. I always pray to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, should I speak or should I not? Remember, actions create actions. So as believers, we got to act, but we don't want to act outside the will of God. Our righteousness is but filthy rags to God. So if we're out thinking that we're changing the world and we're going to bring a silver platter of all the good things we've done to God, that's not the program. We want to be in touch with the Spirit at all the time. And all you got to do is pray to God and say, Lord, I'm on call 24/7 to serve you in whatever way you see fit and whatever you think I can do. And then you go, accept this and this. No, I'm kidding. And then he'll call. It's obvious. You'll learn to hear the Spirit inside your spirit. And most of the time, I don't know how to explain it, but we have to be able to give ourselves up. It's hard because we're still ourselves. It doesn't mean you have to be different. You just stop where you're at, who you're at. You think of, like, even David had sins and God would speak to him and move through him. And, you know, Elijah was a man. When God comes to you with his Spirit, it's just that simple. And so you want to just feel the Spirit, ask God when to do, what to do, but educate yourself. Don't expect, he can do whatever he wants, but that it's free will. You got to be using what he's given you for him. It's got to be an action at all times for him. Again, like I said, you don't go out and, you know, as a royal warrior and start picking off evil people and telling God it's for him. You want to be led by the Spirit. And if you think the Spirit leads you to do that, I'm going to go with that's probably not the Spirit. So that being a point, let's talk about this. So modern slavery is conducted. The top 10 countries with the highest prevalence of modern slavery, and, you know, by how about this, by total number of slaves. Well, nice. If they know how many there are, you know, why wouldn't we just go in and kick butt and take names? That's the kind of thing. If our United States was united, we'd just go one by one and deal with these situations. We could have, you know, thousands of special ops guys trained to go in and rescue. But then what do you do with them? You got to re-educate them. There's always a certain percentage that want to go back. They don't know any better. They're uneducated, or they get, what's that syndrome? I can't remember, but it happened. Stockholm syndrome, where they get attached to their captors and they get a mental disorder where it's basically psychotic. So anyway, the top 10 countries with the highest prevalence of modern slavery. Here's my point. None of these are white Christian countries. None. It's India with 8 million, they estimate. These are actual known slavers. These are known slaves by headcount, which is kind of sucky that they can actually have these numbers and yet not do anything about it. So there's 8 million in India. This is according to World Population Review. 8 million in India. Well, I'll go down the countries. China, 3.9. North Korea, I'm rounding, 2.6. Nigeria, 1.3. Anyway, here's, you know, Iran, 1.2. They're terrible. That they lie. No one knows. Everyone, there's bondage in that religion throughout that nation. Okay, Indonesia, Congo, still over 1 million. Russia, Philippines, and Afghanistan. These are not Christian nations. The only one that's Caucasian is Russia. And that's most of, it says, the slavery that occurs there is not conducted by Caucasians. The top 10 countries with the highest prevalence, okay, what's the difference? Per 1,000, this was prevalence. This is a terrible writing. Oh, prevalence by total number is how they write it. And then prevalence by percentage. So North Korea, 10.46%. Does that sound bad? What is this? 104.6. Wow. 104.6 people per thousand are slaves, are actual declared slaves in North Korea. That's slave labor camps, that's slave military duty. Folks, 10.5% of that nation that we know of runs on an acknowledged slave population. North Korea, you think? That's that little chubby boy. And Trump went and met, you know, got criticized. I mean, they criticize everything. Folks, Trump is a smart man. He's a businessman. He knows how to get action done. I start talking to people about I disagreed that he continued spending at the levels he did, and they start arguing, and then we start talking. They didn't even know. They just want to defend him. That's great, okay? But know your facts. You can't agree with everything everybody does. I'm sure that most men don't want his hairdo, but that doesn't mean he's not a good president. North Korea. 10.5%. Eritrea, never heard of it. 9.3%. Burundi, Central, anyway, these are like 4%. Central African Republic, of course, Africa. Afghanistan, 22%. 2.22%. 22.2 per thousand, 2.22%. And then these other countries, South Sudan. Sudan's horrendous. Pakistan, of course, Iran, Cambodia, you know, these countries still practice modern slavery. None of them are white Christian. The only government that came close to white Christian is Russia, and that's in a different portion of it. And even if it wasn't, so there would be, you know, they still are, they're definitely not a Christian nation. Great Britain remained Christian. I don't know if anything's replaced it. That's the next thing to watch out for. They, you know, the devil keeps bringing sweeps of New Age crap here and there, and it all comes with a lack of morality. You know, the word conservative means traditional. Conservatism means you want to hang on to the history of your country. Now, liberalism is the opposite. It means you want change all the time. Well, that is the secret here of why I brought up the Joy Reid thing. These levels of slavery taking place in these nations, and we're basically, we can't do much about it. Now here's another thing they're saying additional. It doesn't matter. You get the point. It's all over. There's other statistics that are quite horrific to understand the pain and suffering and sorrow of that lifestyle. There's a lot of people that are in ministries relating to sex slavery. I hope the money's going well. We helped with one at one point that, you know, was probably okay, but not all the way okay. And but you just got to make sure people are using the money properly. Sex slavery, Americans generally agree, is a serious problem. It's not hard to recruit most Americans for that. I don't think most Americans, in other words, I'm sure there's very few Americans that would defend it, so they can get money for it from every level. It's not always Christian. The biggest problem is our government officials won't go take care of this stuff, and that's the problem with division and critical race theory. Oh my gosh, we can't go help them. then you'll get the Joy Reads of the world yelling that you're helping the Christians and ignoring. They're basically against everything. I want you to think about this. Like, if say there's a baseline of truth, just a main line of truth. And now, it's not in the middle. Okay, truth is not unbiased. Truth is very biased in depending on your perspective. You may hate the truth and you may think it over here and you may love it and think it over there, whatever. But if you think there's a baseline of all things that are true or all things that are good or right, and then you have on one side, you have people that'll fight for the right, to fight to defend it and fight to protect what is true, which is traditionalism, then you get on the other side. The side isn't against the truth. They don't come out that way. They come out as against the defenders of truth. And so they attack the people that are fighting for truth. And they confuse everybody. And you get these statements like, well, he's a hypocrite. You can't believe him anyway. Or he did this. Or you say to someone, hey, have you read this guy's book? You know, I was talking to someone the other day. This guy has like 27 books, and he criticizes one book for some reason, and therefore that throws out the whole pot. This kind of stuff is going on so much that the internet mentality, it doesn't even understand. You know, even when these kids are writing papers in college, they're allowed to cite websites. When at collegiate level, we had to go out and verify everything. You'd have to go to the library and dig out all these books, and you'd have to cite all these references exactly where they came from. If it was a special paper or a special project where you could cite magazine articles, they'd have to be considered solid, and you'd have to find outside sources that corroborated them. So you'd be on the microfiche, and you learned that journalism had a pure soundness to it. Was there people that would abuse that? Sure, there's all kinds of ways, but it's a lot of work, and it wasn't ethically acceptable. Now it's become just op-ed stuff. You know, it's just open opinion, just wide open mouths, gushing out stuff, lying, twisting, turning, all for the ratings. And then we get addicted to it. People are so confused now. You have reality TV stuff, which I don't watch. None of it. I used to watch Cops long ago when it was the first one, and it was kind of cool. But in general, why do we want to watch a bunch of people in the ghetto get arrested, or dumb people get arrested? I mean, it makes us feel better about ourselves, maybe, or something. I don't know. Maybe read the Bible instead, you know? For sure read the Bible, and don't watch that Tiger King's junk either. That stuff's terrible. But anyway, you know, if you spend some of that time in your Word, there's a few series I'm in love with, but the language is heavy. And that's Yellowstone. I'm telling you, I'll stand behind that all day, whatever you call it. Anyway, any day of the week. That's a good one. 1883 just came out. That's a spinoff of Yellowstone, showing the earlier years. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill are in it. And Tim McGraw's doing a good job. You know, Tim McGraw, Mr. Unbelievable Country Singer with a beautiful wife with a more beautiful voice than he has. He's pretty amazing. We saw him in a little private venue years back down in Vegas. We were at a trade show, and we got to go to this small concert with like 300 people. It was quite a ball. Quite entertaining, quite a couple, frankly. And they were staying there and whatever, but good people. So, Yellowstone, if you watch one. But you got to be in the mood. You got to be Montana thinking. You got to think tough. Ranchers, they use language, but it's not the vile language that you get out of rated R movies now. It's just man language on a ranch. And if you can get through that and follow what's going on, you might like it. If you have a weak stomach, don't watch it. If you get, you know, it just is good. Anyway, so, and if you don't like it, don't hold it against me. It's just a problem I have, and I love it. So, anyhow, to where, I guess where we can just kind of leave this thing. Please know when people are preaching this division and racism, you know that even COVID is a thing. It's another way to politically divide us. So just be aware of all this. Don't cower down anymore. Let 22 be your year of strength to be bold and speak. God says he did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of boldness. You know, he gave us a spirit to stand up and speak the truth and be strong. A lot of people use Christianity as an excuse for apathy or, I don't know, more, you know, just inaction is what I would say. And I would definitely get away from that as fast as you can. Because God did. Hang on a second. See if I can get this. I think I know where it is, but okay, 2 Timothy 1. That's what I wanted. Gotta have a little Bible here. My computer restarted and I lost the page. We've had power outs today at the building like crazy. I'm glad I'm on the air if I still am. Looks like I am, so that's not too bad. I guess I'm doing all right. So let's get this verse up to end the show-ish kind of sort of on. How about that? What did I say? 2 Tim 1:7. Let's see if we can find this. I love this. For God, oh, that's King James. I'm not into that. That is not my thing, girls and boys. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. This is Timothy. But join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Might as well continue a little, huh? Not bad stuff. Let's see what I'm doing on time. Oh, there you go. Hit another screen. Keep it interesting. Okay, so Lord, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Remember that. It isn't your works that saves you. It's Jesus. He did the work. You got to do the work of going to him. But he did all the rest. You can't get to heaven on your own. You can't even see it. You know, you wouldn't even know where to go. You'd be like, so do I take a left up there? Or no. But now was granted. It's interesting. It says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Notice it doesn't even say according to his works. He doesn't need to do works because he owns the whole thing. But he did take a man and put the Spirit of God in it and let that man suffer. Wow. What Jesus Christ endured, folks, unbelievable. Especially with the purity that his body had. He wasn't even polluted with drugs, you know. I mean, at times past, they'd sneak in to the prisoners and give them a little ampule full of, really potent, suicidal levels of opium. If they could drop it through a window or something when they knew that they were going to be crucified or beaten or they knew it was over, they'd slip that to them. In some cases, if the people had a high tolerance, they'd still endure it, but they'd have the painkiller. Unbelievable. Just not even real what we do to people. There's times, I don't know, you know, is it more of a deterrent or is it, you know, is it punishment? Is it, are evil societies, do they take it out on their people? Because I can tell you the, Iranians, these guys, these crazy Muslims, they have these cleansing days where they just destroy human life in a sick, sad, abusive, torturous way. And they have women out there and men and kids beating on them with sticks while they're hanging upside down and beating them to death and, you know, just hideous whippings. And I don't want to talk about it, but I just hate it. You know, it just, anyway. So anyway, he says here, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, which this is saying, his purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Jesus Christ from all eternity, which has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then he goes on. So anyway, back to the point. Point is, you were not given a spirit of weakness, cowardice. But you were given a spirit of power, of bravery, of strength, of endurance. You can stand strong, and you're also given a human brain. If you haven't used it for a long time, figure it out. Play Sudoku. Get the cobwebs out. Start sharpening up. Learn facts. Don't say, that's for you. I could never remember things. I never could remember that Bible. If you read it regularly, you sure would. You don't have to know where everything's at. You can speak the Word of God to people. If you want to go online, 3 nice reviews, you know, legitimate places. Call us and verify it. We'll give you $2 silver, which is a heck of a bargain right now. Also, if you want to secure your medals, call us 509-444-0044. Take care. God bless. Have a nice night.